Good morning, good afternoon. Thank you for standing by. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'll turn the meeting over to Hayley. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. It's all yours.
Thank you, Hayley. So the recording has started, yes?
That's correct, yeah.
Good. Let's do the roll call. So Harold Alvestrand. Doc, now I know Doc is not available. He has something on in his lab, so he sent an email. Aneha Gupta. Sarmad Hussain.
I'm here. I may not stay all the way.
Thanks, Sarmad. Manal Ismail. Manal, I think I heard you earlier.
She is connected.
Okay. Ashkat Yoshi.
Hi, Denise. I'm here.
Hi, Ashkat. Ashkat, very good. Kerry, I heard earlier. You're still here?
Still here.
Mahesh Kulkarni.
Actually, he's stuck in a meeting, so he could not be able to make it.
Okay, thank you. Xiaodong Li. Evangelos Melagrakis. Alexei Mikhailov?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Alexei. Panagiotis?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hello, Panagiotis. Welcome. Vagelis Segredakis?
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Vagelis. How are you? James Seng?
Hi.
Hi, James. Vladimir?
I'm on the call.
Welcome, Vladimir. Alexei Sozanov? Joseph Yi? Edmund Chung. And on staff we have, I heard, Francisco. Kim, is Kim on the call?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Kim. Bahir Eshmat, is Bahir on the call? No. Julie, I understand, is not on the call today. I'm on the call. Patrick, I heard you on the call. Are you still on the call?
Yep, I'm here.
Haley?
Yes, I'm here.
Karen?
Yes, I'm here.
Nicholas Osler?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Nicholas. Kurt Prince?
Hello.
Naila Saras?
Yep, here.
Steve Sheng? And Andrew, I think I heard you earlier.
You did.
Excellent. All right, good. Thank you very much, everybody. And thank you very much to everybody around the world, around the globe, on the coordination team for participating in this final meeting for the preparation of the report, although as you'll see from the agenda, we may be talking about some meetings later on. So welcome. Now, Karen, can I hand over to you for the second item on the agenda, the status of the report and any topics of discussion?
Thank you, Dennis. Following the meeting that we all had in Marina Del Rey last week, we met for quite a while and extensively went through all the comments and feedback that we got during the meeting, and then tried to put those all together into the draft that was circulated to you all a few days ago. So the, you know, a couple of things to highlight. One is the we tried to create a graphical representation of all of the range of possible variant types that were in the taxonomy table to sort of show a conceptual rendering of the different types of cases that had been identified. And those classes that show up in that graphic are also used in the taxonomy in different places in the report. So it's referring to a particular type of variant case. Another thing that we did was to take the section on the label generation rules and which had been, you know, we had discussed as options 1 through 4, 1 through 5. We put that less in terms of creating models and describe some continuum of certain factors that could be used either on one end of the spectrum or the other, as far as, for example, the level of comprehensiveness and the level of expert review and involvement. So that's an additional section along with the options that we had, which are now kind of examples of how you might put together some of those factors into an approach that could be used. And then we've also expanded quite a bit the user experience section in terms of breaking down the different types of users and what their experience would be with the given cases that we identified of outcomes that could result from having variant TLDs, whether they're expected or not. And those are the kind of major substantive changes that I can think of. The organization is a bit different. We moved around some of the opening sections to try to make it flow or set up the report better. And then we've also added at the end a discussion of potential additional work that could occur based on the issues that were discussed in the report. And then that's in addition to a number of smaller comments or feedback that we had discussed from the team about, you know, you could bring out this point more or frame something this way. So you should be able to see a lot of changes in the text. I guess one other thing I'm thinking of is that we had a lot of discussion early on in the team meeting about the what were called the principles and what was really intended by conservative or by the words that were used there. So those have been revised in light of those comments to try to make it more clear what the intention was in using those, which we've now called assumptions. So that's where we are, I think, in the draft that we've sent to all of you. I will, Dennis, do you want to open up to discuss that now or hold till later?
Well, I think it would be best if we held till later and got through some of the administrative matters that we need to
okay.
get through and then open it up for an open-ended discussion. Otherwise, we may not get to the topic. So I'd like you, Karen, to go on to talk about when comments must be submitted because we want to publish this at the end of the week.
Sure. So the intention in the project plan is to be able to post this report for public comment on Friday. It will take some time to assimilate all of the comments and do the editing and get it ready for publication. So I'm going to request that all comments be sent to the list by about 24 hours from now. So this call is at 1400 UTC. So I would say 15 UTC on the 22nd. That will give us time to review them and to make any changes that need to be made to the document, and then to still be able to do a comprehensive review of the whole document as one piece before we put it out for comment. So I know that it's a lengthy report and it's a lot of material to read. And hopefully you've had a chance to look at it somewhat, but for us to be able to meet the schedule and to be sure we can put out a quality report, that is what I would request that all comments be sent by 15 UTC tomorrow.
Yes, I agree, Karen. And could you send out an email to the list confirming that with a sort of flag urgent comments by in the
Yes, I will do
subject.
That.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, I know everybody that this doesn't give give people much time, but I think it's the best we can do and still give time for Karen and the team to do any re-editing and prepare for publication on Friday. The next item is the next steps for publication. We've covered some of this, but Francisco, do you want to go through the steps now, please?
Sure. Thank you, Denise. So this is basically covered on the agenda that was sent. We want to publish by this Friday, 23 December, the latest. And then we'll start the public comment period that will end on 30 January, which will give us a little bit more than 30 days of public comment. And then we plan to have 3 weeks to incorporate all the comments that we receive and publish the final version of the report by 20 February. Which is the deadline to publish material for the Costa Rica meeting in March. We are thinking that depending on the comments that we receive, we may need to convene the team for one more call or two, depending on how things are, in order to be able to incorporate the feedback that we received during the public comment period. I think that's it for this item.
Very good. Thank you, Francisco. I think it'd be valuable if we discussed, not on this call, but in the team, when those conference calls might be and notify the coordination team so that people can put it in their diaries. So maybe you and I, Francisco, will talk about that after the call and get an email out so people can reserve the time.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Francisco. Any queries from the members on the call on that schedule, or as the Americans say, schedule? Okay. Hearing none. Naila, tell us about translations. What's the plan?
Good morning. So We wanted to speak a little bit about translations. We sent a message yesterday, Haley sent a message to the team and asked that it also be shared with the individual case study teams to get feedback. So this is about what versions we will translate this interim report, this report that we will put out for public comment on on the 23rd, on Friday, what translations we should do for this report. Again, this is not for we're not talking about the final report that will be issued on the 20th of February. This is between now and end of January. We're thinking that given the time it took to do the previous translations and the technical nature of the report, we may not get what we want out of those translations. And so we wanted the team to give us feedback if you're expecting your community members to find these reports in translated versions, then we'll go ahead and do the translations, of course. But if you think the English version will be just as sufficient to submit comments, then we'd like to stick to that. And so we're really just asking for comments here on when, what versions to translate it into, what languages, and keeping in mind that those translations may not be ready until probably the close of the end of the public comment period.
Thank you, Naila. Do you want to have that discussion now, or is it best done on the list, on the mailing list?
If now is okay, but if anyone has any specific suggestions or strong feelings about specific translations that should be done, please send an email to the list.
So does anyone on the call want to pick up that topic in relation?
Dennis, it's Panagiotis here.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Panagiotis.
Hello. Regarding the translation that we had in Greek for our Greek study team report, I have to say that the translation that we originally had from your site was not accurate at a very high percentage. So we had a lot of effort to do in order to prepare a good translation. So I think at this stage we don't need a translation for the integrated report. I believe this is my opinion. People who are interested can read the English version, and nevertheless the report goes to the ICANN board.
Thank you, Panagiotis. Yes, I'm aware that it's such a technical report that it's very difficult to get a decent translation. So that's very helpful. Anybody else want to make a comment on this?
This is Vladimir.
Vladimir, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm about the same opinion as Panagiotis just voiced. I think it's a tremendous amount of work to translate such a report properly into any foreign language, and I believe this effort must be balanced with the usefulness of such a translation. As for the Cyrillic speaking, Russian speaking community, I should say that most of the people who are capable of understanding this report should properly understand it in English language. So I believe the translation into any of the Russian or any other Cyrillic language is not necessary at this stage.
Thank you, Vladimir. I don't think there's anybody on from the Chinese case study at the moment, unless someone has dialed in. Has someone?
Hi, Dennis. This is Joseph. Sorry, I joined late.
Oh, good, Joseph. Thank you. Thank you for joining. What's your opinion on the translation of this report for public comment?
I cannot say I can represent all the Chinese community, but I would say the English would be the most unified a report that everyone reads to in order to provide, and we have issues that is more technical due to the roots. So technical people, I would say, tends to at least be more familiar and less confusions with the terms using these reports. If the Chinese version is available, great. If not, I would say English is okay.
Thank you very much indeed. Okay, for that. So we should try and get a Chinese version out, but it's not critical. Anybody from the Arabic case study want to comment on the translation question?
Yes, Manal.
Yes, Manal. Pardon me, folks. That's my phone. Beg your pardon. Manal, please go ahead.
I agree with the other colleagues that due to the high technicality of the report that it might not be feasible to come up with an accurately translated report on time. But still, I forwarded the message we received to the Arabic team because I was not very sure whether SPARMED is available or not. So I forwarded the message to the Arabic team. And so far, I didn't get any feedback.
Okay. Samad, are you still on the call? Do you want to comment on this?
Yes, sure. So we did translate the Arabic report, Arabic script report into Arabic. And the response we got from the Arabic script community members on the team was that it was not up to the mark and it required significant effort before it was released to the public. And so I'm unsure, Bahar could confirm, but I'm not sure whether the Arabic version was actually released to public or not, or was that a wasted effort. But in any case, the community, the Arabic community in Manal can verify this much better than I can because I don't speak Arabic language. But the general feedback I got was that the translation was not useful.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I was busy for
Can somebody mute their line, please? Just hold on a minute. Can whoever has the dogs please mute their line?
Yes, I'm sorry. That was those dogs were in Bath.
Okay.
Sorry for they put we're exiling them from the room.
Oh, right. Thank you, Nicholas. Samad, for that.
Since I'm slightly on the line at the moment, it interests me that an Arabic translation is thought to be the only one of value for Arabic. I mean, what about Persian, for example? It's a completely different language, but it's just as much bound up in the Arabic section of the report, I would say.
Samad, what do you think?
So we actually had discussed this in our face-to-face meeting, and we actually requested our team members whether they needed a translation in their own language, and the request had only come forward from the language community.
I see.
Not from the language community. But once translated, the Arabic language community also said that it is not useful to circulate that particular translation because it was not accurate, technically accurate. And I'm assuming that would be the case for integrated report as well.
Thank you, Samad. Anybody want to comment on the translation of the Devanagari report?
Hi, Dennis. This is Akshat here.
Yes, Akshat. Please go ahead.
Even we are of the similar opinion that the translation is way too complicated to understand. But regarding whether we need a translated version or not, we actually need to get back to most probably to Mr. Kulkarni or Doc Sir. So I guess the feedback on whether we need the translation or not, maybe we'll give it on the mailing list.
Akshat, thank you very much indeed for that. And Kerry, for the Latin group, do you need it translated?
I certainly wouldn't think so, by virtue of the legacy role of English documentation. I think we're cool outbound, and the inbound, I'm not really sure how wide a constituency we're going to have.
Okay. All right. So, Naila, back to you. It looks as if the quality of the translations was not good enough to be useful, and in general, subject to specific comments on the list, there's no appetite for wasting that time and money on translations. At least that's my summary of the comments. Is that what you get to?
I think so. Yes, thank you very much. This was indeed very helpful for us. I do want to add just One clarification statement. I think what we did in the last six reports is we released them for quality control by the teams, and we didn't do the quality control that the translations department normally does. So I just wanted to clarify that that's not normally the quality control that is done on translations. Normally there's a little bit more done before it's sent to for the public. But this was a very helpful discussion indeed. Thank you. And I think with this feedback, we will not try to go and seek discussion translations for this for the report that we will put out for public comment on Friday.
But we'll wait for 24 hours anyway for further comment from the Arabic team and the Devon Agri team.
And the Devon Agri team, correct.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Good. Thank you very much indeed. Now, an administrative matter is next on the agenda, and that's expense reports. Haley.
Hi. Thank you, Dennis. Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate to everybody that if you're going to send in an expense report for ICANN, if you can give as much information as possible, the less information we get, the longer it takes to process. So if you can make sure that you have receipts and that they correspond to what is actually written on your expense report, that would be great. We will be closing the ICANN offices on the 23rd of December, and we'll be closed for a couple of weeks and through till the 3rd of January. So can't guarantee any payment before then. So if you can get them in as soon as possible so things don't get forgotten, and with as much information as possible, that would be great.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Haley, for that. Okay. Now, what I suggest we do now is, rather than taking comments at random, that I go round the table, metaphorically at least, and ask everybody whether they have comments on the report that they want to give the team at this point in time. So the first person I have on my list is Sarmad. Sarmad, have you any comments that you want to make at this time on the report?
I actually skimmed this very quickly, but I'm actually taken over by some urgent local matters, so I am not sure whether I will even be able to meet the 24-hour deadline, and I actually wanted to ask, if we do not meet the 24-hour deadline, how can we still submit comments?
Karen, can you take up that question?
Yes, thank you. So, the time that I put out there was to make sure that we had time to review and understand the comments and consider how we could accommodate them in the report and still be able to do all the reviews that we need to do before publishing. So I guess that's the time we'll commit to reviewing it and considering all those comments that we get by that time. Comments after that, you can certainly continue to send, and we'll, use best efforts to try to get them in if we can.
Thank you, Karen. And, of course, the public comment period will be open and will be also available to everybody on the coordination team, Sarmat, to make comments in the public comment period.
Dennis Carey, this is almost a point of order.
Yes.
I suspect that Sarmat's anguish is shared by many of us, but how do we indicate the solidarity underlying the document if those of us who are advising on the one side are relegated to submitting their critical comments on the other?
Indeed, I understand the point, and you're sort of a sentence ahead of me. Obviously, we'd much prefer to get the comments and include the comments before we publish them publish the report on Friday. But there just is a physical limitation to how much work people can get done in order to get it out.
Well, what about a general disclaimer about that very process, just so that there's a minimum of raised eyebrows? How come, on the one hand, the following people were advising during the preparation of the document, but still feel a need to register unincluded commentary after the fact?
I think that's a very helpful suggestion. Karen, could that be included?
Certainly. We have a sort of disclaimer in there now that, effect that the report is an ICANN report, and the coordination team has advised us through the preparation, but it may not necessarily reflect the views of all the individual team members.
Yeah, which therefore will also appear among the public comments.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you add that?
And highlighting the time constraints we were operating under.
Mm. Okay.
Thank you, Karen. That would be very helpful. So, Sarma, does that address the question for you?
Yes, I have no further questions.
Thank you very much. Manal, have you any comments on the report at this point?
Unfortunately, Dennis, I didn't have the time to read the report thoroughly, and I'll do my best to submit any comments I have before the deadline of tomorrow. And again, the discussion that just took place seems very helpful, just in case we need to comment further, but I'll do my best to meet the deadline of tomorrow.
Thank you, Manal. I appreciate that very much, and do understand that everybody is also very busy, and this is an imposition on everybody. Akshat, have you any comments on the report at this time?
Hi, Dennis. Currently, none, because even I was held up with some of the things that were needed to be done here.
Sure.
But yes, within next 24 hours, we'll definitely be able to make some comments on that, and we'll do that.
Thank you very much indeed. Kerry, you're next on my list.
Well, there are a number of just small details that I can certainly get in during the 24-hour limit, but there's something what I would almost regard as profound here, and that's largely Section 3, 3.2, 3.3, and then also the appendix, the description of the Latin script. But there's something that I think we are being a little bit too careful. It's a form of ambiguity that we're being too careful about trying to resolve without recognizing the context in which that ambiguity arose. But 3.2, the assignment of code points and representative glyphs is definite within Unicode. Unicode does not assign code points. Unicode uses the code points that are assigned by ISO 10636 and provides Unicode character properties to those code points. It's a very important distinction. And I don't know what a definite representative glyph is. I mean, it goes on. Representative glyphs is definite within Unicode. Representative glyphs are purely illustrational. And in a context such as this one, we also need to be absolutely rigorous in recognizing what is intended to be normative and what is informational or illustrational. And we've confounded ourselves on that one. In 3.3, it almost contradicts itself, because Unicode typically assigns a unique code point to what it recognizes as an abstract character, with reservation for the fact that they don't assign code points at all. That's true. The distinction between glyph and code point and character, which I realize we've been working very hard to clarify, I think we have managed to confuse every bit as much as we might have clarified. If there's such a thing as a confusicule or a clarificaticule, we haven't got those correctly balanced. And then the appendix, in its modern form, the Latin script has two sets of 26 glyphs and one-to-one correspondence, lowercase, uppercase. The way I learned it, the Latin script has 26 letters. The Latin alphabet has 26 letters in a one-to-one correspondence, and these things are typically represented by a far larger number of glyphs. So we're trying to impose a notion of what a glyph is in this document that is utterly at odds with what our target community, I think, believes the term to mean. And I'm aware of the fact that the Unicode definitions are ambiguous as well. But again, the context that fostered that ambiguity is something that we have not understood.
Kerry, thank you for those comments. Karen, do you want to make a comment, and then I'll ask Andrew and Francisco and Nicholas. Karen?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you, Kerry. I think the comment is to the extent that the definitions and terms used in that section are not clear. That was something that had come up a little bit in our internal reviews of that as well. So that's that was that aspect of that question is on the list to be fixed.
Thanks, Karen. Andrew, do you want to make a comment?
No, I mean, there remain some issues in this document for sure, and I think that some of those really need to be sorted. I'm concerned particularly about the glyphs versus code points issues, but there's this sort of deep and fundamental ambiguity in the way that Unicode talks about them in the first place, and maybe what is necessary is some discussion in the document about how those things are ambiguous and the ways in which everybody understands them to be ambiguous. I don't know if that would help. Maybe Carrie can respond to that.
Other than noting that when I suggested exactly the same approach to another aspect of ambiguity, you jumped down my throat when Marina Del Rey, I will not count to jump down your throat. I do believe that loose narrative has a place in this document because we are looking at a situation where there is a significant legacy confusion, and we cannot wave our hands and make that go away. And my concern here is that our attempt to do precisely that is compounding confusion, just moving it into new territory, but not resolving it where it's already residing. And yes, for sure, an informational addendum at some point, either in the main text or in an appendix, would be the only thing I could think of. Because, yeah, I mean, it is confusing, it is ambiguous, but we can't make that go away. And we can't pretend that it doesn't exist.
Thank you, Gary. Francisco, do you have any comment on this?
Not really.
Nicholas?
Well, I'm not sure that I can make a comment which will help Carrie substantially. As I understand, I mean, a lot of the text that he may be complaining about may ultimately have been formulated by me. The concern of the project, as I understand it, and certainly as it emerged from the debate, is that we're talking about organizing code points here. And code points have a clear reference. However, they represent abstract characters and how they are mapped into visual displays in the form of glyphs is, as Andrew has pointed out, not 100% clear, and perhaps it never could be. What we've tried to do here is to represent the issues in the most intuitively understandable and not misleading way that we could. They may therefore mean that in some cases of the actually a statement of who's done the assigning and what the precise relationship is between a code point and some array which may be seen as a glyph by some people, we may have not had perfectly exact language. But I think it's important to understand this language in the context of the points we ultimately make and thinking whether it actually leads to a false conclusion or a misleading conclusion, or if it's just... I mean, Carrie did actually say that loose exposition has a place here. I mean, in a sense, I don't know whether he meant that we should be worried about loose exposition in this case. I think that's what he meant. In another sense, loose exposition is actually can be clarifying if it shows what the tendency is of particular definitions which are being made.
And back to you, Carrie.
I think that purpose could be served by a review of the way we use terms. I mean, again, I always thought, and I suspect that a lot of readers of this document will think that there are far more glyphs used to represent the basic elements of the Latin script than 26, and those basic elements aren't called glyphs, they're called letters. It's an alphabet. That kind of stuff.
I believe you're actually referring probably to the appendix on salient characteristics of six scripts, where I rather thought that probably most people would know the salient characteristics of the Latin script before I wrote that. In the total context of Unicode, it is certainly the case that there are large numbers of sets of glyphs for each of the letters of the Latin alphabet. Nevertheless, in the crucial ASCII area, there's only one of each. And that's
no, actually, there is not. I mean, people look at their screens when they're looking at what represents an ASCII code point, and it can be anything depending on their font selection.
that's where Glyph maps into what I believe is the basic mindset of the target community for this document.
Well, then we're getting into the realm of visual similarity, and we have actually talked in the visual similarity sections about how difficult it is to actually predict in terms of model glyphs which you are given as to what people will be coping with. So we are actually wise to that, the issue insofar as you're making an issue there.
Now, can I suggest that two things out of this discussion? One, that we need to review these sections and definitions, and two, that perhaps this conversation could continue on the email list, Kerry and Nicholas and Andrew.
Please.
Yeah, over the next 24 hours. And Kerry, thank you for that. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's basically it. Again, there are just small, there are referential details. There are references to sections in the document that are mistargeted by one number. So I suspect it's just some sort of an automated rollover thing that didn't quite work.
If you could flag those, that would be very helpful. The next person I have on my list is Alexei Mikhailov. Have you any comments on the document?
No, I don't have any comments right now.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Panayiotis?
Hello, Dennis. To be honest, I could not study the new version of the report due to the time that I had.
Sure.
So I will check my notes from the meeting, and I will put them side by side with the new version of the report, and I will let you know. I don't have any other thing to say. But at least there was in the appendix something salient characteristics of six scripts. So, as I said, I haven't yet studied what it is written in the new version of the report for the linguistic variants. But in the section regarding the Greek language, there is no nothing about the Καθαρεύς and the Μοντική, and maybe we could put something. You can use our report anyway, in order to distinguish these two forms of the Greek language. This is the only thing that I managed to compare. Thank you.
I think that's covered.
Could I come back, Dennis, on that?
Yes, please, Nicholas.
The scripts is the key word there. In the sense that what you're talking about is characteristics of the Greek language.
Okay, you're referring only to the script then.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Thanks, Nicholas.
Okay. I will start the report.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Panagiotis. Vagelis, have you any comments on the report?
Yes, Dennis. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can indeed. Please go ahead.
Okay. On page 23, the second paragraph about upper, lower case and specified information, the very last sentence is a sentence that I don't actually understand. I think it's something is needed there, but I'm not sure what it means. So that's one thing. I already sent an email to the list about a change to the table that we want. And another thing I would like to say is that on page 32 of the report, which is the place where the whole Καθαρεύουσα and the Δημοτική issue is described, actually, although at the very first paragraph of the page, it's reported that the Greek team asked for this type of variant to be blocked, the other three paragraphs just leave you with the impression that the recommendation was exactly the opposite. I think it should be maybe placed with some different way or something, because we didn't ask for this variant to be delegated, so these three paragraphs should be placed maybe earlier in the text and leave another impression than the one that left there.
Okay, thank you for that. Karen, have you flagged that paragraph for review?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could I also ask that the first sentence which Vagelis mentioned could be stated deliberately and sent in an email, because I'm having some difficulty in understanding exactly what his problem was.
So back to you, Vagili.
With page 32, the 3.5.
Maybe page 23 I was concerned about, but you had before as a problem.
Okay, I'll try to describe it somehow, but I'll send it over.
But just send the relevant sentence. I'm sure it'll be clearly flawed, but all the sentences that I can see there look okay to me, so I just don't know which. I'm obviously not looking at the right sentence.
So if you could send an email just for clarification, Vagelis.
Yes.
Thank you very much indeed. Any other comment? Now, the next I have on mine is Vladimir.
I only finished reading about one-third of the report. I find it very well written, and I have a very small number of comments so far, if any. And so if I have any comments, I will provide them within the designated time frame.
Thank you, Vladimir. Appreciate that. Joseph Yee.
I scanned the report quickly. Don't have much comment right now, but I do some comprehensive reading on the user experience part, so I may raise some questions rather than say some suggestions within the next 24 hours.
Joseph, thank you very much indeed. Let me run through then the people that I have marked as not on the call in case they've come in. Harold Alvestrand. I know Doc is not on the call. Neha Gupta. Mahesh Kulkarni, Xiaodong Li, Evangelos Melagrakis, James Seng, Alexei Sozanov, Edmund Chung. Okay, we've been around the table, so that's all I planned to cover at this point in time. Unless anybody on the call has one final comment they want to make, we're asking you. I know it's a short period of time, and I know you're all busy with other things to do. But if you can, please, within the next 24 hours, to get your comments to the list for Karen to work with the team on. So, anybody got any final comment? Hearing none, back to you, Karen. Is there anything else you want to raise at this point?
No, I don't think so. Just to thank everyone again for their participation in the face-to-face meeting. There were a lot of changes that resulted from the perspectives and the comments that were brought out in that meeting. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Karen. And so lastly, my thanks to everybody in the coordination team. We very much appreciate all the hard work on the calls at a face-to-face meeting and in commenting on this document. We look forward to your comments, and thank you very much indeed. So we'll talk to you on the email list, and we'll send various emails about the future calls that we may have in the comment period. So thank you. We're staff, maybe team, maybe you'll stay on this call. We go straight into our own call. And thank you very much to the coordination team. Have a very happy holiday season and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good. So who have we left on the call?
Kim here.
Thank you, Kim.
Nicholas is here.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Karen, I'm still here.
Thank you, Karen.
Hayley's still here. By the way, if we're going to remain on this call, it's still going to be recorded, and if you get a transcription, our part of the call will also be transcribed. So if you're okay with that, we can stay here. If not, we can go on to the number that we would normally use, just so you know, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for that reminder, Hayley. I'm fine with that, but just remember that we are being recorded, people. Francisco, are you still on the call?
Hi, this is Nayala. Can I come in?
Nayala, yes, please.
Hi. Haley, just a question for Haley. I don't know how we'll publish the recording of the previous call if we stay on this one. Can we cut the recording halfway or something like that?
No, that's why I was trying to give you the warning that it will be one continuous recording and transcript.
Okay.
We can cut the audio file.
Sorry, say that again?
I was going to say, we can cut the end off the audio file. That should be no problem.
Well,
let's just
drop the call and redial in, just to make things simple for everybody. Just take 2 minutes to redial in, and we'll reconvene.
Okay, just to make sure, so are we calling in on the original number that we have the Monday morning calls on?
Whichever you recommend, Haley.
I recommend the one that we use for Monday morning.
Thank you. We'll
okay.
Do.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Thank you, everybody. Back on the call in 2 minutes.
Great.